This is Fresh Air. Henry Alford describes his journalism as comic investigations. He takes on odd jobs, puts himself in unlikely predicaments, and writes about what he finds. He's gone undercover to bring back the big stories on nude house cleaning and male models. He's passed himself off as the owner of a Greenwich Village dog salon, Rough Trade, and marketed a tasty treat of his own creation called Nubbins. His pieces have been published in such magazines as Vanity Fair, Spy, Vogue, and the New York Times. His work is collected in the new book Municipal Bondage, One Man's Anxiety-Producing Adventures in the Big City. Here's a reading from a piece about his bold and creative attempt to encourage friends to give him gifts.
It is the curse of the single person to be a perpetual witness to the splendors and privileges of matrimony. And among the amenities matrimony lavishes upon its participants, perhaps most galling is marriage's institutionalization of gift-giving. I think of bridal shower gifts. I think of wedding gifts. I think of anniversary gifts. I think, and then I shudder. For although I do not begrudge a happy pair the perquisites of union, there was a time when I could not help but feel that my own grim existence, an existence devoted largely to going home each night, putting on some plaintive honky-tonk music, and then dancing with a mop, was the very type that would most benefit from an influx of bright and shiny objects. My married friends had both each other and a drawerful of sterling asparagus prongs, I thought. I had my work. Oh, certainly when at Christmas time family members handed me a new appliance or a biography of St. Ignatius of Loyola, they partly assuaged this feeling of deprivation. But the effect was short-lived. So it was with joyous excitement that I learned about a program within Bloomingdale's bridal registry wherein single people can register for gifts even if they are not getting married. Although self-registry is usually done by people who are moving into a new apartment, I decided that there was no reason why someone in my position shouldn't pick out merchandise simply because, as I would later tell salespeople, I like to receive and unwrap presents.
So did you register?
I did indeed, at four different department stores.
Why don't you explain the way this works for somebody who's never done it and never bought a gift from a registry for somebody?
Okay, well, basically, department stores have a service, usually for brides, whereby women can go into department stores and be handed a list of various merchandise that they might need in setting up a new home.
And the idea is this way, people give you what you need, and also they don't duplicate, because after somebody brought you that beautiful teapot, it gets crossed off the list, right?
Exactly. So it's you're helping out your friends who are buying you wedding presents.
So what did you go for, and how did you price yourself?
Well, I tried a couple of different price ranges. When I went to Bergdorf's, everything was so expensive. So I ended up going for sort of silly things like a $950 Staffordshire St. Bernard and a $3,000 Victorian coal scuttle. But I think I was more successful at Bloomingdale's, where they had sort of more quotidian, more sort of run-of-the-mill practical merchandise. And that was where I signed up for a white plastic mug. I went into the Bloomingdale's deli and signed up for a bag of potato chips, things like that.
So did you get anything?
I did, yes. Two of my friends went, yeah, my friend Erica got me the potato chips.
Did you love them?
I did love them. I have to say that my choices at Bloomingdale's were dismaying to the woman to the Bloomingdale's employee who took my form. It was confusing to her that these were the things that I really wanted.
Let's talk a little bit about your shtick.
Okay.
Your shtick is that you you kind of create these unusual predicaments for yourself, or cast yourself in unusual roles, and then you write about it.
Right.
How did you start doing that?
How did I start doing it? I think the first one that I did was I attended a poetry convention that the World of Poetry threw. And this is a slightly fly-by-night organization that awards anyone who enters its poetry contest an award, and then encourages you to go down to Washington and spend thousands of dollars and receive this plaque, and whereupon you realize that you are not the only winner. There are, in fact, 2,000 winners. So, yeah, the idea is to go and try these services or apply for jobs or put myself in situations, sometimes in the manner of a sort of a service piece, like a magazine might send someone out to stay at 5 bed and breakfasts and then have the writer write them up. And that's something that I did, only instead of staying at charming New England bed and breakfasts, I stayed at bed and breakfasts that are being run out of people's New York City apartments.
Humorist Henry Alford is my guest. His new book is called Municipal Bondage. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with humorist Henry Alford. One of the things that you did and wrote about was to hire 2 nude house cleaners because you'd been seeing a lot of classified ads hiring
right.
for those.
Yeah, if you read alternative weekly newspapers, you'll see toward the back of those, you know, after the futon ads, you'll find these, small ads for that nude house cleaners place. And my idea with this is that not only is nude housekeeping impractical, but it's really sort of a dangerous vocation. So I had these, I hired 2 different nude house cleaners at separate times and had them perform tasks that I thought would be particularly challenging to people who aren't wearing clothes.
Such as?
I had them set glue traps. I had them use a highly concentrated form of drain cleaner with sulfuric acid in it. I had them carry firewood.
That's really sadistic.
Well, fortunately, I mean, there was no bodily harm. The interesting thing was the female nude house cleaner, upon arriving at my house and disrobing, walked into my living room and, seeing that I had no blinds, turned to me quickly and said, "Oh my God! You don't have blinds. Can anyone see me?" And it just struck me that if that's a big concern of hers, that, you know, she's made a really interesting career choice.
Did you talk to the 2 nude house cleaners about why other people hire them for their services? You did it largely to get a piece from, but, you know, you figure there might be some better excuses to get 2 people nude in your house than to scrub the sink in the bathroom.
Absolutely. No, that was my first question when I started seeing these ads was, you know, is this a form of prostitution? And in fact, it's not, both of these claim that it's not. One of them told me, you know, the visual is okay, but it's strictly a hands-off policy.
Is this a sexual fantasy that a lot of people have, that somebody will take off all their clothes and vacuum?
I guess. I mean, there is that sort of in the canon of sexual fantasy, there is the French chambermaid, right? So maybe it's, it fits in there somehow. I don't find it a turn on.
So did they clean your house well?
They did. I hired one man and one woman. The male house cleaner was particularly conscientious, and kept encouraging me, or kept offering to draw up a list of cleaning supplies that he thought necessary for gracious living.
Well, you know, you're always creating predicaments for yourself in which you have to lie. You have to lie about who you are.
Right.
You have to lie and act as if you're serious about the profession you're pretending you want to become part of,
or right.
about the scenario that you're creating. You have to lie about what your motivation is. How do you feel about all the lying you have to do to write these pieces?
How do I feel? It depends. Sometimes it just comes perfectly naturally. In other instances, it's quite difficult, and there is a sense of guilt that accompanies it. I guess I always think of James Thurber, who is one of my favorite writers, who, you know, late in his career went blind. And there's a passage in Burton Bernstein's biography of Thurber in which the poet Carl Van Doren goes over to Thurber's house, and Thurber is crying. And his friend says, you know, what's going on? Why are you so upset? And Thurber says, I just know that my blindness is my punishment for having said all these mean things about people in my work. And that's something that I, as a satirist, deal with a lot, is this sense of guilt that comes, A, from being disingenuous when I'm doing my reporting, and B, from, you know, not always having the nicest things mm-hmm. to say about people.
I guess if it was me, I'd worry a little bit about the risk of being condescending. Like when you're applying for a job at a department store, you're just doing it as a lark, where, you know, to see what kind of tests they give you and stuff. For a lot of people, they're desperate to get this job.
Right, but I'm not making fun of the process of getting a job. What I'm satirizing in that instance, where I tried to get a job at Macy's, is their preposterous personality profile that they have people undertake.
Yeah, the questionnaire you have to answer.
Right, where there are a lot of questions like true or false. I often pick up trash when no one else is around. And these sort of
right.
Yeah, kind of insidious, I prefer taller women type questions.
So how did you answer that one? Not about the taller women, but I often pick up trash when other people aren't
around. The trash,
around.
I can't remember. That one just struck me as so odd, because what are you, I mean, even if you're trying to be a good employee, yes, you would pick up trash, but wouldn't you pick it up anyway, regardless of whether people are around?
But let's face it, it's so hard if you see any ambiguity in the world to answer any questionnaire.
It's true.
What did you want to be when you were a kid, when you thought about what you'd be when you grew up? Since you've tried so many things and written about it, what was your ambition as a kid?
I'm trying to think. I had a couple of different scenarios going. I was, as a kid, I did a lot of theater, a lot of acting. And I think to a certain extent, some of these adventures grow out of my experience in improvisational theater. So that was, for a while, what I thought. I was also quite fascinated by mailmen. I think what was interesting there was that summer uniform, that you know, those incredibly long socks that they wear with their shorts. I mean, essentially, you know, these are knee socks and a turtleneck. And that was very intriguing to me.
Henry Alfred's new book is called Municipal Bondage. This is Fresh Air.